A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome into hour two of the Greenhouse Show on a beautiful Saturday morning. Dave Meekham sitting in for Maria Chaleos, who is enjoying a day off. Hopefully she's going to have some fun this afternoon, Ton. She works hard, and she needs a little break.
She does, and I am glad that she's able to go enjoy herself. She's asked me why I don't take more days off, and I'm like, well, I'm a stick in the mud.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me, too. That just pretty much describes it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It
All right.
does.
Let's start off this segment with a call. We've got Mark calling in from Taylorsville. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Just had a question regarding tomatoes.
Okay, go ahead.
I've planted six different varieties of tomatoes, and the only two that have produced tomatoes are the Celebrity and Big Beef. Do you know why? Has there been an issue with tomatoes this season?
It has been a rough year for tomatoes, and there's some of it's kind of uncertain as to what the reason is, but some of it's weather, we suspect, Ton.
Yeah, it's just been too hot. 100 degrees through July isn't conducive to tomatoes producing and keeping flowers. They'll self-abort the flowers because it can't, due to some physiology, it can't pollinate itself. And so those flowers drop off unpollinated. And until we get temperatures that are below 90 during the day and below 70 at night, those tomatoes will, the plants will look gorgeous, but not bear any fruit.
So there's a possibility with the weather moderating,
yeah.
I might get some tomatoes
have,
off of these.
Have
other
they
plants.
Grown? Are the plants decent
yes.
size? Because there's been
oh,
an issue this year with some plants just not making it.
Yeah,
yeah. These are all six of them are big and bushy.
Good.
Okay,
like
then you're in good shape.
The producer, the big beef and the Celebrity.
Yeah, I think by, you know, as long as you're getting blossoms on the plants, that by the end of September, you can be like Scrooge McDuck on his show where he's swimming in money, but you'll be swimming in tomatoes.
The odds are that within a few days from now, because of the weather we're having right now, especially with it being so cool today and yesterday, you're probably going to see tomatoes developing. You'll probably see them set fruit here, and you'll see that in short order.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
great.
A weather thing. We've been getting lots of calls from people lamenting, I don't have any tomatoes. But it is uncommon for us to have tomatoes in early August. Oftentimes, it is Labor Day before we really see good fruit set.
Yeah.
And
most
when
of your
the temperatures
tomatoes
are cooler.
End of August into September when you really start
yeah.
to get those tomatoes.
Good 45
simply,
days
simply
before
because
frost.
Of our temperatures here. But there are some varieties that are better at setting fruit in hot temperatures, but most of the ones that are popular here are not those varieties.
Yeah, it's just the reason you're getting those two particular ones is because they're hybrid and probably a little more heat resistant than some of the other
okay.
ones you're growing.
Great. Hey, well, I appreciate your time. Enjoy your program. Thanks so much.
Thanks for being there, Mark. And, Ton, we have there's a video out
yes.
on Facebook about this.
We have a video out that we filmed last week. Maria and I went up to the USU Botanical Center and spoke with Sheridan Hansen about our tomato video, or we filmed a lot. We were there for over 2 hours filming segment after segment, but the one we are getting out this week, and Caitlin being sick, you're a trooper. Thank you for getting that out. She got her video edited, and we talk about why there's been widespread tomato death across Utah.
And I know that, at least as of a couple, 3 weeks ago, you said that the extension was doing a deeper dive into this, looking to see if there was some viral issues or something else. Has there been any conclusion to that either way?
Well, there has been a lot of work. And what we're finding is there's no conclusive, just like the smoking gun type things. This is what's going on. But what we're finding is that tomatoes are having several different root rot or vascular wilt diseases that are usually fungal, and that we're seeing consistently on the tomatoes that are struggling a lack of root development.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll go pull them up, and the root system's about a third of the size it should be, and a lot of times the roots are at least partially rotten.
So they're rotting. It's not that they were root bound.
That's contributing.
Okay.
So the other problem is we had such rough weather through May into June that a lot of people waited until June to plant, and their tomatoes were root bound. And a root bound tomato that then gets those huge rainstorms we had in early June, I think that's induced some root rot. And even if it didn't, it's maybe made the tomatoes unable to really thrive.
Yeah, I've got I lost a plant or two. I know you lost even more. But I do have, you know, probably a third of my plants that just, they haven't thrived. I mean, they're alive. They're out there. One of them is kind of like this Charlie Brown Christmas tree with this big tomato on it. It's really kind of bizarre. But some of them are doing extremely well. The BN varieties that you gave me to try, those are doing quite well. And then I've got some celebrities. I actually have some that I planted, because of all of the question and doubt and the trouble we're having with tomatoes, I kept a few in reserve and put them in July. And they've actually almost surpassed some of the ones that are languishing that were planted, you know, at the end of May, beginning of June.
Yeah, and it's just been a weird year for tomatoes. Some of the growers in southern Utah County have experienced near 100% loss.
It's crazy.
It is, and I think that it just, a lot of it relates back to the weather conditions when we planted. And so I'm noticing that people that had tomatoes that were planted in May under low tunnels that had the plastic over mm-hmm. the top or a floating row cover, those tomatoes with the weather protection seem to be okay. Not all of them, but seem to be doing better. But the other thing we're seeing a little bit of is curly top, which is a viral disease spread by leaf hoppers. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about the leaf hopper. But we've been seeing maybe 15 to 20% of the tomatoes that are dying have curly top. The rest of them seem to have a root rot. But even then, not always, they're just declining.
So this is probably 80% just the weather conditions that existed at the end of May, early June, when we would normally plant our tomatoes, but a lot of us held off. I did. Because you look at these storms, I don't want to plant in that.
Yeah, and it was recommended to hold off because we were, you know, it's mid-May and all of a sudden we dropped to 18 degrees. It's going to kill even your cool season crops on that temperature. And so we recommended people hold off because you didn't want to waste a lot of money. But then we got those rainstorms, and then we jumped from those rainstorms to high 90s and low 100s. July, I believe, at the airport is the hottest month in recorded history. And so those hot temperatures also didn't help.
I think that as I've thought this through, that I haven't used my walls of water for a couple of years now just because I've been lazy and honestly didn't have time. But, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea to go ahead and – or it wouldn't have been a bad idea to go ahead and get them in and just put a wall of water around them, even if it was mid-May. And I think they would have been a lot better off.
Yeah, they probably would have been happier. And I think that, you know, with climate change, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole on what's causing it. I'll just usually blame fluffy bunnies, but on climate change, and we have been seeing a different kind of climate than we saw 30, 40 years ago, to where we're, you know, February and March for some reason have been a lot warmer than usual, mm-hmm. and then April gets cold. And that's happened 3 or 4 years running. We're seeing a lot more extreme weather events in the spring and fall. You know, a few years ago, those early, you know, the September where we dropped to 10, 15 degrees in September, mm-hmm. you know, in the spring. And so I think that if this continues, that gardeners are probably going to need to invest in walls of water, in low tunnels and those sorts of things to get their plants through May. And then, you know, the heat something, but if we can get through those shoulder seasons in the spring and fall, that's going to make gardening easier and more successful. And just with the sporadic weather events, that's maybe a direction we need to go.
Yeah. And if you're going to use a wall of water, then don't wait until May, go ahead and put them in April, because now they're protected and you're going to get that head start and that root development will be there and you're going to be better off come August anyway.
Yeah, and people that use low tunnels in the spring and then take the plastic off and put shade cloth on, a 20 or 30% shade, actually can get tomatoes usually anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks sooner than you would of just not having that there.
Yeah, it still doesn't solve our July heat problem, but as far as establishing the
plants. Shade
cloth
partially does.
Yeah, that's true. It would.
It does. Now, at 105, 106, maybe not, but they do help out.
Okay, I can talk tomatoes a long time, and I know you can too, but we've gone long on this segment, so we're going to take a break here. But if you want to chime in on the tomato discussion or you've got a different question, please give us a call. KSL Talk is the line. There are lines open for you right now, or you can give us a text at 57500, and we'll try and help you out there. We're going to take this break, though, and be back on the other side with more of The Greenhouse Show on KSL.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Radio. Just talked a lot of tomatoes there, Ton, and now we've got a texter that's got a tomato question. People say tomatoes these days are not acidic. What is a good acidic canning tomato?
Well,
I didn't know that tomatoes weren't acidic.
Well, they have some acid in them, but the trend has been for sweeter tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And so I actually personally, I'm going to get in trouble with Maria. I don't like acidic tomatoes. They just have a flavor profile that I cannot stomach. And so I veer towards sweeter tomatoes. And so whenever we've canned, you know, Celebrity is always my go-to.
Mine too.
But, you know, and a lot of the acidic tomatoes I know of would not make good canners. So we might have to have some callers call in on this one, because I don't plant acidic tomatoes. So I'm trying to think of some of the other canning tomatoes, but the Campbell's, there are some, the DX5212, but they've more been bred to hold up to the canning process and stay more firm and not for acidity. But I will mention that USU and other extension services have canning recipes so that you don't give yourself botulism or other diseases. And so when you can your tomatoes, download a USDA or extension recipe, and you need to add vinegar or another acid to your jars, and it's like 2 tablespoons or something. I don't know the exact rates, but as we get into canning season, those tomatoes, it's imperative for the salsas and the tomatoes that you're using approved recipes, putting the amount of vinegar in them that you need to, and that increases it a bit. But that's just one that I'm a little stumped on because I don't, that's not the kind of tomato I usually plant.
Okay, so if you've got an acidic variety of tomato that you know is good for bottling, then let us know. We'll share that. I guess I just have never really viewed my tomatoes.
No, Brandywine
as acidic or non-acidic.
Is the classic acidic tomato.
Okay.
And Brandywine is one of the tomatoes. It's an heirloom that all other tomatoes are compared to as far as flavor because it's a slicer. My dad loves them, but when I bite into a Brandywine, I'm just like, man, not for me. I'd rather have a celebrity or another variety.
I've actually looked for Brandywines to plant in the past and not been able to find them, but maybe next year.
Yeah,
I
they're
always
pretty
like to grow
common.
Something I've never tried.
So I know J&J carries them. Maybe if we're up there next year, we can bring some back.
That'd be great. All right, we are going to jump out and take a break. Quinn, we know that you're waiting on the line. We're going to get to you after the news break. We're going to take that break now, but when we come back, we'll take Quinn's call. If you've got a question, KSL Talk is the line. We'll help you out as well. And if you've got an acidic tomato, let us know if it's a good bottler, and we'll spread that around as well. This is the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Join USU Extension on Tuesday, August 9th from 6 to 8 for a celebration of quilts and string quartets nestled among the trees and shrubs of the Varga Arboretum. This event is free to the public. Quilts and other items will be available at a silent auction. All donations support their gardens. Learn more at usubotanicalcenter.org. Learn how to see landscapes differently with Conservation Garden Park on Friday, August 12th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. On the tour, you will see a number of inspiring exhibits while their guide shares ways to incorporate the concepts demonstrated into your own landscape. Register at conservationgardenpark.org. Learn all the benefits a local landscape provides with Weber Basin Water on Saturday, August 13th at 9 a.m. This class covers landscape layout, irrigation basics, planting, and maintenance. Register at weberbasin.org. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
Rose of Sharon is one of my favorite shrubs. It's not bothered by many pests or diseases, and it's also quite water wise. Another thing that I like about it is that it blooms from July until October. But one reason these aren't planted more is because they get too big for today's modern landscapes. However, there are newer cultivars that stay smaller. New dwarf series include Lil Kim and Polly Petite. Both of these stay around the 4-foot size after about 10 years in the yard. There's also a new series called Pillar that grows quite upright and is very narrow, and it works well along walkways and in other tight spaces.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.